Said, good evening, everyone. The Lord bless every one of us today in Jesus' name. Did I hear your amen?
Amen.
Father, we do thank you for tonight. Thank you for your people, leaders, pastors, overseers, and workers. We're asking, O Lord, that you show us the way to serve you acceptably. I will pray that your spirit will be mighty upon everyone in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Prosper the work in our hands.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
We're looking at Acts of the Apostles chapter 2. And I'm reading from verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. The Lord had told them to gather together and to wait on the Lord, and to wait and pray, seek the face of the Lord, until they were baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. And in obedience to the Lord, they were all together. And it says, they were with one accord, unity, in one place. They were saved, they were sanctified, and therefore they were all one. It says in verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat on each of them, all those who are waiting. I want to refer back to chapter 1. In chapter 1, verse 14, it says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. All those who continued as they were together praying and waiting upon the Lord. That's what the Bible says in chapter 2 verse 3. And it says, it filled all the house where they were abiding and praying. And cloven tongues like as of fire sat on each of them. And then it goes on to say in verse chapter 1 verse 14, with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren, all those who are waiting, all the disciples, all the believers, all the men and the women of God that were waiting, the Holy Ghost came upon them. Look at verse 15. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. All the 120 received, whether they were young or old, married, not married, brethren, disciples, men, women, they all received. I'm emphasizing that for a purpose. You'll see now verse 4 of Acts chapter 2. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. How many of them were filled? All of them, 120 men and women, young and old. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. As the Spirit gave them utterance, they began to speak because of that experience of being baptized in the Holy Ghost. Well, please remember, come to chapter 1, verse 8. Chapter 1, verse 8, but he shall receive power. Actually, the goal was not to receive the speaking in tongues. The speaking in tongues came as the initial evidence, but the real thing the Lord wanted them to pray for, and the real thing they were waiting for, and the real thing they experienced is this in chapter 1 verse 8. It says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come there and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. So you understand the plan of God and the purpose of Christ is that everyone that receives the Holy Ghost baptism will be a witness unto Christ. You'll be a witness in Jerusalem, the capital city, and also in Judea, and then in Samaria, and then it says to the uttermost part of the earth. That includes missionary work. It means that as you leave your Jerusalem, you go beyond, you go to Judea, you go beyond, you go to Samaria, you go beyond and go to the uttermost part of the earth. You have the Holy Ghost, and therefore you have the privilege, and you have the plan of God that you will do what you has called us to do. We'll come back to chapter 2 verse 5. And it says, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised, that's what they had got, was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and they were confounded. They were surprised, and they couldn't know what to say about it, because that every man, that is every man among those people that came, had them speak in his own language. The baptism of the Holy Ghost gives a real language when they speak, when we speak in tongues. And then he goes on to verse 7, and they were all amazed, they were all surprised, and they marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? How hear we every man in our own tongue, in our own language, in our own dialect, wherein we were born? And then he mentioned the names of the places you are coming from. Go to verse 11, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues, in our language, the wonderful works of God. That's the purpose. That's the purpose. That when we receive the power in the Holy Ghost, that we speak the word of God, we preach the word of God, and we magnify the Lord. Tonight we're looking at the message, Purposeful Gospel Proclamation by Spirit-Filled Believers. We're believers saved. We're believers sanctified. We're believers filled with the Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled believers, and the real thing, the real purpose, and the reason why that has been given is that we will declare the gospel, preach the gospel, proclaim the gospel, purposeful gospel proclamation by Spirit-filled believers. Let's come back to chapter 1, verse 8 again. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power. With the coming of the Holy Ghost, boldness comes. With the coming of the Holy Ghost, courage comes. With the coming of the Holy Ghost, there's passion, there's power, there's authority. And it says, shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He comes upon us as individuals, not collectively, as if, you know, we're waiting for other people. You were saved as an individual. You were sanctified as an individual. And as you see the purpose of God in giving us the Holy Ghost, you thirst, you consecrate, you wait on the Lord, you pray unto the Lord, then it says you receive power. After that, Holy Ghost has come upon you as a sister, upon you as a brother, upon you as a worker. There's that desire, there's that passion that you don't want to go on just, grudgingly doing the work of God, excitedly, cheerfully, happily, boldly, courageously. You want to do the work of God, and then it says, you shall be witnesses unto me, witnesses unto Christ, what Christ has done. You'll be a witness that he came as the Lamb of God. So as 4 verse 8, it says, then Peter feels that the reason why we have the Holy Ghost, we declare the word of salvation, and we declare that word so that the people who hear will understand, the people who hear will be convicted, the people who hear will confess their sins and come out of their sins, and those people who hear, they'll turn away from their sins and repent and be born again. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11, verse 23. Acts 11, we're reading from verse 23. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. He was encouraging the believers, discipling them, making them to cleave unto the Lord. In verse 24, for he was a good man. He was saved. He was a good man. He was sanctified. He was a good godly man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. Many people heard him, and many of them turned away from their sins. That's the purpose, so that we can preach the gospel of salvation. And that gospel of salvation coming to the people will get them saved, full of the Holy Ghost and faith. And then with that, was able to turn many unto the Lord. Chapter 13. In chapter 13, I'm reading from verse 9. It says, then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost. You understand, it's not just the initial experience of being filled with the Holy Ghost. You go on being filled with the Holy Ghost. A challenge comes, and then you're filled with the Holy Ghost. And then an opportunity comes, you're filled with the Holy Ghost. You're preaching the gospel, something somebody is trying to contradict, then you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Every moment you stand up to minister, the possibility is there. There's a fresh feeling with the Holy Ghost, and because of that fresh feeling with the Holy Ghost, you're able to do the work effectively. It says, was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil. You see the boldness there. He wasn't looking down, you know, because of this sorcerer. He wasn't kind of fidgeting because of this person opposing the gospel. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't intimidated by the person that was contradicting what was preaching unto the deputy. But boldly he said, you are a child of the devil, and you are full of subtlety and mischief. Thou child of the devil, that thou enemy of righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, you see the confidence here, and now you see the boldness here, and now you see the authority. Immediately, that's power, that's power. I pray that you'll have power. I said you'll have power. And can I remind you once again, this was not in a synagogue. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. Mark that down. I pray that will happen to you. You know, going to the night something, going to the morning something, but you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, that's not enough. We're saying that holiness without Holy Ghost baptism will not go far. And the practical righteousness without being filled, without being saturated with the Holy Ghost, will not go far. But it says, it shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, and many, verse 16, many of the children of Israel shall eat. Turn to the Lord their God. That's the purpose. That's the purpose. Filled with the Holy Ghost, verse 15, and then in verse 16, many of the children of Israel will he turn unto the Lord. And I pray that God will make use of you as a great instrument in his hand, in Jesus' name. Once again, we're talking about purposeful gospel proclamation by spirit-filled believers. Three things we're looking at. Number one, the perception of the gospel of God. The perception of the gospel of God. And then point number two, the proclamation of the gospel of grace. The proclamation of the gospel of grace. Number three, the penetration of the gospel for godliness. The penetration of the gospel for godliness. When the gospel penetrates into the hearts, lives of people, it will turn them to the Lord, it will make them have salvation, and it will give them godliness. This is the way God wants to use you. And this is the way God is going to use you. Number one, the perception. Number two, the proclamation. Number three, the penetration. Number one, we're looking at the perception of the gospel of God. The perception of the gospel of God. Acts of the Apostles chapter 2. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, I'm reading from verse 6. Acts chapter 2, reading from verse 6. It says, now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. The language of a person is the language of his heart. Even though he might be educated, and he studies other languages, like he studies French, he studies English, he studies any other language, foreign language, his own language, his own native language, his own dialect, when you speak to him directly in that language, he has perception. He has understanding. He has connection and link with you. And what surprised these people, he said, I didn't know they could speak my language, because I'm hearing my language. That other one says to you, I'm hearing my language. And they perceived because of that. Look at verse 8. It says, how hear we every man in our own tongue? That's a surprising thing. And that's what kept them. It kept them interested, because they were speaking in their own language wherein we were born. Look at verse 11. It says in verse 11, we do hear them speak in our own tongues. In our own tongues. It's not a foreign language. They're speaking to us in our own tongue. When the Spirit of God comes to you and comes upon you and saturates you, and you have the desire to speak to people in their language, especially when if you are born in that area and you know that language, but you've not been speaking the language for a long time, the Spirit of God comes to you now, and then you're able to speak to them, not in, you know, perhaps Queen's English, but you speak to them in a language they will understand, and then they will perceive. After all the speaking in tongues, look at verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. He was not speaking to them directly in normal language, in the language of that society, which everyone understood. And he said, they shall hear his word. How did that, what effect did it have in them? Look at verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were preached in their heart. That's the purpose of preaching. It's not just to make noise. It's not just to have a structured message. It is to speak to the hearts of the people until they will understand. They don't understand, number one, they have sinned. They don't understand, number one, they are guilty. They understand, number one, their sins are inexcusable. Then they understand there is mercy, there is love, there's pardon, there's redemption, there's salvation available for them. Then they will understand the source of that salvation, that the source of that salvation is Christ. And they understand the timing of that salvation. Right now, at this very time, they can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit will draw them to Christ, and they're born again. That means they really understand, because now they turn away from their sin, they turn to the Savior. Look at that verse 37 again. It says, when they had this, they were preached in their hearts, convicted in their hearts, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? We want to reverse the things we have done. We want to have the peace of mind rather than condemnation. Can we do anything? Is there anything we can do? Verse 38, then Peter said, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall have the gift, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You see what Peter told them here when he said, what are we going to do? And what response should we give to this? He said, repent. You've done this and it is not good in sight of God. It's unrighteous. It's ungodly, it's not proper, and therefore you need to turn away from that and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be baptized in the name of Jesus. What does that mean? You see, the Jewish people, baptism was not something, you know, common to them until John the Baptist came, that he was baptizing them. Before John the Baptist came, only the Gentiles were baptized. Only the Gentiles, they are coming from the jungle of heathenism. They are coming from paganism, and they want to be a proselyte. They want to be like the Jews. They said, okay, if you're going to be like us, the Jews, you must be baptized. They'll dip them in water and bring them out. It means that when you are dipped in water, all the practice of idolatry, all the practice of hedonism, they have died out of your life. You'll not worship idol anymore, and they are buried, and you come out, and now you are washed and you are clean. They used to do that to the Gentiles, that you'll be proselytized. But now the Jewish people were now told directly, the Jewish religion is dead. And the Jewish religion, the old covenant, is dead. You must take that to burial. And then you are dipped in water, and then your past is gone. Your sins are gone, and the Jewish religion, the old covenant, is buried. You rise up now, and you come into the new covenant. That's what was telling them. And they agreed, and they accepted, because they have been convinced and convicted by the Spirit of the Lord. Look at verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And then it says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Joyfully, they gave up the Jewish religion. Joyfully, they gave up their past. Joyfully, they gave up what their forefathers had been worshiping. Joyfully and cheerfully, they came to this Jesus Christ now and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says the same day there were added unto them, how many people? About 3,000 souls. And these 3,000 souls, look at verse 42, and they continued steadfastly. They continued steadfastly. They were eager to learn. They were eager to grow. When you preach by the power of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost fastens the word in their hearts, upon their minds, you'll not be looking for them and searching for them, and they have gone back to their Jewish religion. They've gone back to their tradition. No, as they are baptized in water, old tradition is buried, and the old religion is buried, and the old character, everything is buried, and now they come out alive. Alive in Christ, alive in the new faith and in the new experience the Lord has given them. But we must preach with understanding. We must preach that they will comprehend and they will perceive the perception. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, reading from verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, reading from verse 7. And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction of the sound in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? What the apostle is saying here is, even the things that don't have any voice, like some drums in some of the localities and tribes, those people can beat those drums, and they'll be giving a kind of instruction. And they'll be given a kind of very clear language by the distinction of the sounds coming from the drum. And he's saying, if they do that with instruments, look at verse 8, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, if the trumpet has been blown, and then you don't understand what the trumpet is trying to pass across, who shall prepare himself to the battle? Who shall prepare himself to fight against the devil? Who shall prepare himself to fight against his weaknesses? And then to fight against the sin that bound him? Who shall prepare himself to battle? So likewise he, except he utter by the tongue words easy to be understood. After you are saved, you want to witness, then learn that you must speak in the language that the people will understand, easy to be understood. You are sanctified, and you are filled with the love of God, and you are filled with the love for the people, and you want to go and reach out to them. You must speak in the language they can understand. Your love, your passion must not be so high that you are speaking so fast, or you are speaking in a way that you are just interested in what you are saying. You don't know whether they understand or not. Your words must be easy to understand. And then when you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, and you know the purpose of being baptized in the Holy Ghost is not to demonstrate your vocabulary, it's not to demonstrate your speaking in tongues, it's not to demonstrate what power you carry, it is to witness for the Lord. And the witness must be very clear as you do it with perception. So that's why he says in verse 9, it says, likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. You're in a bus and you're speaking, and nobody understands what you're saying. You speak into the air. Or you are your community on the street. You say, I'm being morning cry, and you're not very clear as to the point of salvation. All you are telling them is about the Ten Commandments in the Old Covenant. You have not come to the point where you talk about Christ, and about the cross, and about salvation, about repentance, about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, so they can be saved. You'll be speaking into the air. You are talking about, you know, what happened in the Old Testament, and then the people, as they did this, as they did that. All you are saying, you are trying to erase up the sin that have been buried already. The old covenant is gone. Talk to us about Christ. Talk to us about salvation, and talk very clearly that the people that hear you in that morning cry, or the people that hear you in your local assembly, they'll understand, oh yes, I know all I've seen and come short of the glory of God. That I can hold. And I know about myself, by nature, I'm a sinner. By practice, I'm a sinner. Not only that, I cannot save myself, because if I could save myself, all I will do is make resolution. All I will do is take a new decision. All I will do is turn over a new leaf. All that cannot save me. There is no name under heaven by which we can be saved except the name of Jesus. Jesus died for us on the cross of Calvary. And because he died for us on the cross of Calvary, look unto me, all ye the ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for I'm God, and there is none else. Make it very clear. It is that perception that makes people to go on their knees and to pray and to seek the face of the Lord, so that their sins will be forgiven them. I'm still in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'm reading now from verse 10. It says there, it may be so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, if I know not the meaning of your preaching, if I know not the application of your utterance, if I know not what you are trying to say, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. The people that hear you, that you will excel, that you have edified them. Let's come to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. And you want to know the people in your house fellowship, do they really perceive the gospel of God? Do they understand the gospel? Ask them, what's the gospel? What's the good news? Ask them, how can we be saved? Ask them, what steps can somebody take so that he can be born again? And he has the assurance that he's born again. Ask them, have you taken that step? Do you have assurance that you are saved and that your sins are forgiven? Do you have assurance that your name is written in the book of life in heaven? There must be that clear perception of the gospel of God. How will it happen? Nehemiah chapter 8, I read from verse 3. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 3, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand. And those that could understand, men, women, and children, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. They were attentive because they understood what was being said. And then it goes to verse 8. Look at verse 8. And they read in the book of the law distinctly. They read in the book distinctly. If you cannot read, the English Bible distinctly, then go for your local language Bible. But read distinctly. If you cannot read either distinctly, then look at the community in which you live and look at the prevailing language there and study the language and practice the language, so that as you open the book of God, the word of God, you can read distinctly. And then it says, and give the sense. And give the sense. It's not just, I read so many verses, I tied together so many verses, I connected so many verses. None of those verses are understood by anyone. It says you give the sense and cause them to understand the reading. Cause them to understand the reading. When the Holy Ghost came upon those 120 people and they spoke in tongues, they were speaking the wonderful works of God, and the people could understand. And then Peter rose up to speak. And when he started speaking, all the people that were speaking in tongues, 120, 119, that's minus Peter, all of them kept quiet. So that Peter alone can speak the word of God to them and make them to understand. This is that which was written by Joel the prophet. And then he gave it, and now he told them, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. They perceived, they understood, and they said, what shall we do? Look at verse 12. In verse 12, it says, and all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words. The joy of salvation came, the assurance of forgiveness came, and the assurance that they were redeemed, they were set free, and lives changed, and the grace of God came into their lives. The condemnation was gone, and the pressure and the guilt was gone. Because of that confidence and because of that joy, it says they went their way with great joy, and they understood that they were what was declared unto them. That's the purpose, and I pray that that purpose will be fulfilled in everyone we speak to, in Jesus' name. We're looking at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, I'm reading from verse 14. Romans chapter 1, verse 14. It says, I'm debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. I am debtor to the Greeks and barbarians. It says, both to the Jews, to the wise and to the unwise. You owe them the debt of telling them what Christ did on the cross of Calvary, the debt of what they need to hear. Because if they don't hear, how will they be born again? How will they be saved? How will they call upon the name of the Lord? And so Paul the apostle said, I'm a debtor. I know those barbarians. I must speak to them in the language they can understand. And I know those Greeks and those Jews, I must speak to them in the language they can understand. Those who are wise, I'm a debtor to them. And those who are wise, I'm a debtor to them. Look at verse 15. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to do what? Tell me out aloud. Ready to preach, to proclaim the gospel and the word of the Lord, and to proclaim it with understanding, and to proclaim it with perception, and to proclaim it with application, that it applies unto them. Because if they didn't understand, it applied to them. If it is just preaching, and it's a preaching is good, the preaching is nice, and the preaching is wonderful, but there's no personal application, they have not understood their sinners, they have not understood that they cannot save themselves. They have not understood that Jesus died on the cross to save them. They have not understood that at this very time, this point in time, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If they didn't understand that, we've wasted our time. And he says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that at Rome also. Look at verse 16. For I am not ashamed. You'll not be ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That's the purpose of preaching, unto salvation. That's the purpose of declaring the word. That's the purpose of calling them to repentance. It says it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I pray that we will not be negligent of preaching the gospel, preaching it in such a way that the people perceive, the people understand, the people apply it, and then they are saved. Salvation will come to them. Redemption will come to them. And understand, that's the reason why you are preaching, that's the reason you are declaring the word of God unto them, so that they might be saved. What's the gospel? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm reading here from verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. The gospel which I preach unto you. It says, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. That takes understanding. You receive the gospel, believe the gospel, apply the gospel, and have it yourself, and you stand in that gospel. And then it says in verse 2, it says, by which also ye are saved. You are saved. When you hear the gospel, believe the gospel, accept that gospel, it says you are saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I declared unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Christ died for our sins. If we don't get to that in our preaching, and we're just talking about the law and the offense of the people and the guilt of the people and the condemnation of the people, without getting to them that for all these should have died, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But Jesus took your place, and Jesus became your substitute. And it says, now Jesus died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, and he rose for our justification. What are we to do? What are we to do if we really understood the gospel? If we understood why Jesus died, what's the response of the people? We're looking at Acts chapter 17, verse 13. Acts chapter 17, I'm reading from verse 30. And in times of this ignorance, God winked at. The times of this ignorance, God winked at. He's willing to forgive. He's willing to overlook everything that is wrong that has been done. But now, look at this. But now, commandeth how many people? All men in how many places? Everywhere to do what? To repent. That's the response. They must get to that response. It's not enough to just say, I pray to them, Jesus Christ, Jesus crucified, the Jesus who died, the Jesus who is our Savior, the Jesus who was buried, and the Jesus who rose again. They must understand the response we are to carry out, the things we are to do. As he died on the cross, what's our responsibility? And what's our response to that? That will now repent. If they don't get to that, we have not preached the gospel fully. They must know their responsibility, and it must lead them by the conviction of the Spirit of God that they should repent. We're looking at 2 Peter chapter 3, and I'm reading from verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, and we're reading from verse 9. It says in verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards what? Not willing that any should perish, but that, read it out, but that all should come to repentance. That's the goal of preaching, and I pray that God will grant us this thorough work, so that when you preach, then you bring the people to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, I'm reading from verse 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, reading from verse 5. It says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. You see that? The Holy Ghost and power, convicting power. The Holy Ghost and power, the power that struck them and the power that reminded them of their sins, and how they will call on the name of the Lord, and in much assurance, and ye know, as she know, what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. And ye became, they become something different, a change, a transformation, a conversion. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction and with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God watch is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. The word of God so worked effectually in them, that their lives became so different, so righteous, so holy, and so godly, that the people around them could tell and could see that a change had really come on them. For they themselves show of us, in verse 9, what manner of entering in we urge unto you, how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. That's the effect, that's the result of the salvation they got, of the gospel of God that came into their lives, and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. It was very clear to them. They had a good perception of the gospel of the word of the Lord, and that gospel worked effectively in their lives. Number one, the perception of the gospel of God. Number two, the proclamation of the gospel of grace. We're coming back to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, we're reading from verse 4. In verse 4 it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Look at verse 11. In verse 11 it says, Cretans and Arabians, we do hear them, and we understand them. We know what they're saying. They were not just speaking gibberish. They're not just speaking one syllable and repeating that over and over. Actually, we hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Look at verse 14. In verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Galilee, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, that is, those who are coming from outside, and those who happen to be at Jerusalem on that day of Pentecost, it says, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. What actually did he want them to know when he said, "Hearken unto my words"? What was the real center and the real point he was driving across when he said, "Hearken unto my words"? Verse 21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we don't give them assurance that anyone can be saved, everyone can be saved. Everyone who repents, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, whosoever, whatever the background, whatever the sin, whatever the evil, whatever they have done in the past, and whatever guilt they carry, it says in that verse 21, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the assurance we are to give them. And then look at the response now in verse 30. Six, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. They were convicted for their sin. They saw the evil that they had done. It says they were pricked in their hearts, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent. You must turn. It's not just raise up your hand if you want salvation. It is not just accept it. Accept Jesus Christ. There must be repentance. They look at everything they have done, and the Holy Ghost will remind them. And because of the remembrance of those sins, guilt will come. Condemnation will come. But they don't have to say in that condemnation. It says, repent and then be baptized, every one of you, as you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You are baptized into the name of Jesus Christ for the removal, for the forgiveness, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We're looking at Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, I'm reading here from verse 4. Here is what the Lord had told his own disciples. He said there'll be times of trouble and times of difficulty and times of great challenges. But in the midst of those challenges, the preaching of the gospel must go on. It says in chapter 24, reading from verse 4, it says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Nobody will deceive you. If they try to deceive you, not accept the deception in Jesus' name. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes and in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And then he goes on to say in verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, what will happen? The love of many shall wax cold. That's why some people stop preaching. They say, you know, that other person was an encouragement to me. He was fervent, he was passionate, and he was, you know, faithful, preaching the gospel. But they are not doing it anymore. If they are not doing it anymore now, and they look warm, lethargic, and cold, why should I? Because Jesus said, all these things will happen. And then in verse 13, but he that shall endure to the end, the same will shall be saved. I'm one of those people. I will endure to the end. I'll carry on till the very end. I'll be saved. I said I'll be saved. It says, he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Look at this now. In the midst of the rumors of wars, in the midst of those challenges, in the midst of those difficulties, it says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all the nations, and then shall the end come. It said in us, we shall not abandon the preaching of the gospel just because there are difficulties, there are challenges in the villages, in the local governments, in the provinces, anywhere. We'll keep on preaching the gospel, whatever the challenges may be. We're looking at Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Mark chapter 16, we're reading from verse 15. It says in verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye into all the world, proclaim it, declare it, publish it, and tell everyone that comes across you, and you come across them, don't allow any opportunity to pass without preaching the gospel, proclaiming the gospel, the proclamation of the gospel of grace. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Luke chapter 9. In Luke chapter 9, I'm reading from verse 6. Luke chapter 9, reading from verse 6. It says, and they departed, and they went through the towns preaching the gospel. They went through the towns preaching the gospel. That's what he wants done today. He wants us to look at every locality, and where there's no gospel, Bible believing church, go there and preach the gospel, and go to all the towns, and go to all the villages, and preach the gospel. Make it clear, and make it convicting, and make it convincing, that the people will turn to the Lord, and healing everywhere. You're preaching the gospel and you're healing everywhere. Look at verse 59. In verse 59, and he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead. There are those who are natural people, dead people spiritually. They are dead in sins and trespasses, and they know how to do all those social things. Those things are necessary. If somebody has died in the family, somebody has to be there carrying on the burial. But don't allow that to stop the preaching of the gospel. That one is dead already. If he has gone to heaven, there are many people who do not know how to get to heaven. Go and tell them the person who died is in heaven already. And therefore, the rest of us who are here, we must also take heed to our lives and repent and believe and call upon the name of the Lord so that we can be saved. It says in verse 60, it says, Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead, but go and preach the word of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. Go and preach the kingdom of God. I pray you will do it. Amen. I will keep on doing it. I said, I will keep on doing it. And as we do it faithfully, the Lord himself will bless the preaching of the gospel through us in Jesus' name. Acts of the Apostles chapter 20, I'm reading from verse 24. Acts chapter 20, we're looking at verse 24. See the commitment of Paul the Apostle, and this is a commitment everyone ought to have. This is a commitment the Lord is expecting from you and expecting from me. There'll be difficulties if you're talking about difficulties. There'll be challenges if you're talking about challenges, and there'll be some things that might want to push you back from preaching the gospel. If you will allow those things, it happened to Paul the Apostle. But look at his commitment. Acts of the Apostles chapter 20, and I'm reading from verse 24. Acts chapter 20, we're reading from verse 24. It says, but none of these things move me. That's a definite point of consecration. that, you know, sinners are dying, and if they perish in their sin, they will suffer in hell fire forever and ever. And whatever pressure you have now cannot be compared with the punishment and the pain they're going to have in hell. And whatever opposition and whatever challenge and whatever pain and whatever persecution you have now cannot be compared with the suffering of the people when they go to hell. And so he says, this is nothing. This means nothing. And so he says, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. He said, I'm saved already. I'm born again already. I'm sanctified. It says, I have assurance of heaven. It says, my name is written in the book of life in heaven. If I die that sudden death and sudden glory, I'll go to be with the Lord. Therefore, it says, I count not my life dear unto myself. But now, this life that remains, everything that I have, I'm going to use and publicize the gospel and preach the gospel and proclaim the gospel. That's why he said, none of these things move me, neither can tie my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course of joy. Some people start, they don't finish. Some people have not even started. I have started. I don't know about you, but I have started. I will continue until I finish. I can't hear the people of God. You'll finish in Jesus' name. He said, so that I might finish the course, my course of joy, and the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. To testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Look at Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. I'm reading from verse 20. Romans chapter 15. Reading here from verse 20. It says in verse 20, it says, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel. So have I endeavored to preach the gospel. So have I labored to preach the gospel. So have I consecrated and committed my life and my time and everything of God. So have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. That should be our goal. There are many people who have not heard the real gospel. They have not heard the true gospel. They have not heard the saving gospel. It should be our mind, our consecration, that will do everything there is in our power to do, so that they will hear, and then they will understand, and they will repent. They will turn unto the Lord, and they will be saved in Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm reading from verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. Yea, necessity, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. The man was not thinking of his life anymore, of his comfort anymore, of his convenience anymore. He was not thinking of luxury anymore. He will traverse any road. He will get to any house. He will get to any situation. He will do everything there is to do, so that he can get to the people that need to hear the gospel. It says in verse 17, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, the dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Look at verse 20. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. He said, I'm not going to leave any section alone. Every section I'm going to get to. Every community I'm going to get to. Every tribe I'm going to get to. And he says, to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain against the Jews. It says to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, the Gentiles, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. It says to the weak, became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. It says, I identify with every section of society. Wherever they are, whoever they are, I get to them. It said, I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means do what? Save some. It says, that's my goal. It says, that's my passion. It says, that's what I'm running after. And I pray that God will give us that same passion and that same desire to get to all people so that they can be saved in Jesus' name. Number one, the perception of the gospel of God. Number two, the proclamation of the gospel of grace. Number three is the penetration of the gospel for godliness. The reason why we're preaching the gospel is not just to fulfill all righteousness. It's not just to say, well, I've done my part. Whatever happens to them, whatever their response, whatever they do, whatever they do not do, that's between them and God. He said, no, there is a purpose, and there is a reason, and there is a goal, there is an aim, there is something you are driving at. You want them to be saved now, and you want them to persevere until the very end, until they see the Lord face to face on the final day. And that brings us to this penetration of the gospel. Penetration of the gospel for godliness. Acts of the Apostles. I'm reading from chapter 2 and I'm reading from verse 37. Acts of the Apostles chapter 2. We're reading from verse 37. In verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. When they heard this, something happened in their heart. When they had this, then they opened their mouth and something came out of their mouth. The preaching must affect the heart, and the preaching must affect the mouth. The preaching must bring conviction in the heart, and the preaching must bring confession from their mouth. When they had this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What they had heard gave them the conviction that Peter and the rest of the apostles knew what they will do to get rid of the guilt, what they will do to get rid of the condemnation. And so Peter said unto them, repent. Christ has come to call not the righteous but the unrighteous to repentance. He has come to call sinners to repentance. And they remembered that he has told them, go into all the world and preach repentance in every nation, beginning at Jerusalem. And so Peter remembered that all he will tell them is what Jesus Christ had said. You know, there are people, they tell us they are filled with the Holy Ghost, and then they tell us things we cannot even find in the Bible. But you know what Jesus said? When the Holy Ghost has come, he will remind you of what I had spoken unto you. That's exactly what the Holy Ghost did here. He reminded Peter that Jesus had said they will repent. And so he says, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation, sinful generation, unbecoming generation, upside down generation. Save yourself. Then they that gladly received his word, they received the word to repent. They received the word to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They received the word to turn away from all their tradition and to come to the truth as it is in Christ. It says, they that gladly received this word, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And these were not people that just believed for the moment. They continued with the Lord. They continued with the apostles. They continued learning. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued. Our converts will continue. Those who hear the word of God from us will continue. If they don't continue, they are not disciples, because Jesus said, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Romans chapter 10, I'm reading from verse 9. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see that? The preaching affects the heart, and the preaching brings confession out of their mouth. They confess with their mouth the Lordship of Christ, and they believed in their heart that he was raised from the dead, and it says they'll be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Godliness must follow. Righteousness must follow. A new life must follow. It says, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. We come to Acts chapter 15. Reading from verse 3. Acts chapter 15. We're reading from verse 3. It says in verse 3, and being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. The conversion. They had gone out to preach. And now they came back, and they brought back reports of conversion. Reports of conversion. It's not just that I knocked at so many doors today, and I preached gospel to them, although they didn't accept, but I've done my part. No, your purpose is not just knocking at doors. Your purpose is preaching the gospel, penetrating their hearts with the gospel, and they repenting of their sins, and calling upon the name of the Lord, and then the conversion of the Gentiles, and they cause great joy unto all the brethren. I pray that our preaching of the gospel will bear fruit. And what kind of fruit? Look at Acts chapter 19. I'm reading from verse 18. Acts chapter 19, reading from verse 18. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many, as they heard the word of God, they believed. And then it says, they confess and they showed their deeds. Look at verse 19. Here is the effect of hearing the gospel. Here is the effect of yielding to the gospel. Here is the effect of confessing their sins, believing of the Lord Jesus Christ, and turning away from their past, and turning away from darkness, turning unto the light. And it says, many of them also, which use curious arts, magical arts, occultic materials, brought their books together, and they burnt them before all men. Can you see that? That's the evidence that the gospel really took effect in their lives. The gospel actually had penetration into their hearts. And it says they burnt those books before all men, and they counted the price of them, and found them to be 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. I pray that the same result we'll see in our preaching, proclamation, penetration of the gospel, in Jesus' name. Acts chapter 6, I'm reading from verse 7. Acts chapter 6, reading from verse 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied, in Jerusalem greatly, and a great number of the priests were obedient to the faith. A great number of those who even were like priests and preachers and pastors and workers in other assemblies, where they were not born again, the word came to them. And as the word came to them, they repented, they believed, and they became obedient to the faith. I pray God will effect the same thing in every one of our ministries. John chapter 8, reading from verse 10. John chapter 8, we're reading from verse 10. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Has no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee," that's grace, "neither do I condemn thee," there's no final condemnation, that's forgiveness, that's redemption, that's salvation, being presented to the woman, "now go and sin no more." The past is gone. The darkness is taken away. Light has come. A new life has now come. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." We'll have it. And those who are hearing us will have it in Jesus' name. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Titus chapter 2, reading from verse 11. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all." When we preach of the guilt of man, but we preach of what Christ has done at Calvary. And we present the grace of God unto them. And that grace of God will bring salvation, redemption, as they turn away from their sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says now, teaching us in verse 12, that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That should be the effect of that gospel coming unto them. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, reading from verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm reading from verse 17. We proclaim the gospel. It has effect and takes root in the lives, in the hearts of the people. So they become new creatures in Christ. They have changed lives, and they have changed behavior, and they have godliness in their lives because grace turns their lives around. And it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. Old things are passed away." If they are truly converted, all things are passed away. If they have come to Christ and Christ is not living in them, old things are passed away. Tradition is gone. Idolatry is gone. Idol worship is gone. All those rituals are gone. And the bad life they were living before, all that bad life is gone. It says, if any man, anyone at all, if he's in Christ truly, it says he's a new creature. And all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And as things have become new in their lives, then they join the people who are also proclaiming the gospel, preaching the gospel. In verse 18, "And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. If you are saved, if you are born again, then he gives you the ministry of reconciliation, talking to the people, and you do that in the power of the Holy Ghost upon your life, and the Holy Ghost then driving you, motivating you passionately to declare the word of God, because you know, unto you is committed this ministry of reconciliation, to which that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He's committed the ministry of reconciliation unto us. He's committed the message of reconciliation unto us. In verse 20, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. You are? I am? Say, I am an ambassador for Christ. And now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto God. Be ye reconciled unto God. The Lord has spoken to us today, and the Lord give you understanding. The Lord give you faithfulness. The Lord give you obedience. He tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 7. Consider what I say. All that we have heard today. Consider what I say. The coming of the Holy Ghost in our lives is to make us witnesses to Christ. Consider what I say. The baptism with the Holy Ghost and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, the saturation of the Holy Ghost, is to make us proclaim the gospel. Preach the gospel. Go everywhere and tell people of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've heard it today. We're not just to hear and then sleep with it. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. The Lord give you understanding in all things. And as we're here, we obey. As we're here, we believe. As we're here, we apply. As we're here, we do. As we're here, we practice. And God will bless the work in our hands in Jesus' name. James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, reading from verse 22. But be ye doers of the word. Be ye doers of the word. You remember what we said in one of the covenant services in January? Ability plus activity is equal to productivity. We're not going to produce anything. We're not going to have converts if we just have the ability. The Holy Ghost upon our lives, the Holy Ghost has come, and we're saved, we're sanctified, we're baptized in the Holy Ghost. Ability is there. The power is there. The skill is there. And with the knowledge is even there, how about the activity? How about going out and actually doing it? Ability for plus activity equals productivity. You'll be productive. You'll be profitable. And many people will come to know the Lord through you in Jesus' name. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I'll be a doer of the word. Anybody there? I'll be a doer of the word. You will do the word. You will practice the word. That's the purpose why Christ has spoken to us. Because if we're just here and we're not doers of the word, the blessing does not come on those who just hear and those who do not do. But I will do it. I will obey it. I will carry out the word of God. And the blessings of obeying the word of God will be given unto you in Jesus' name. Somebody there say amen. Luke chapter 6, I'm reading from verse 46. Luke chapter 6, and we're reading from verse 46. It says, "And why ye quite call ye me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? We come and then we hear, and then do we do it? Do we carry it out? Do we perform it? Are we faithful in obedience to the word?" He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." He wants us to do that. He wants us to knock on doors. He wants us to open the Bible to them. He wants us to preach the word of salvation to them. He wants us to penetrate their hearts and their lives of the gospel. And he says, "Why will you keep on calling me Lord, Lord, and do not doing the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like." It's like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Your spiritual house will be found upon a rock. Amen. Will be built upon a rock. Amen. But look at the people who are hearing and not doing. Look at the people who are hearing and not believing. Look at the people who are hearing and not performing. Verse 49. "But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell." I pray your house will not fall. Amen. Your spiritual house will not fall. Amen. But it says the people who are hearing and not doing, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. The Lord wants us to be doers of the word. He wants us to be people that hear and people that say, "Yes, I know that word is given to me. I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost." And the purpose of that infilling with the Holy Ghost is to go out and reach out to other people so they will hear the gospel, they will believe, they'll be saved, and them and us will go to heaven together in Jesus' name. Will you be a doer of the word? I will be a doer of the word. I said I'll be a doer of the word. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto Christ, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. It's now your turn. Where are you? I said, it's now your turn. Rise up and tell the Lord, "Grant me more grace. Grant me more skill. Grant me more understanding. Grant me more ability. Grant me the fire. Grant me the passion. I will go. I will do what you have called me to do. I will not be always hearing and then I'm not doing." The people are always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They're always learning. They're not rising up and doing it. They're always learning. They're not obedient to the Lord. The Lord wants us to be people who will hear and believe, who will hear and accept, who will hear and apply, who will hear and obey, who will hear and do it. And those are the people who are going to have the blessing of the Lord. Open your mouth and pray and say, "Lord, here I am. Have you been filled with the Holy Ghost? Have you been baptized with the Holy Ghost? Have you received the Holy Ghost? You are saved? Praise the Lord. Are you sanctified? If you are sanctified, praise the Lord." After you have been saved and you have been sanctified, are you filled with the Holy Ghost? And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and then they went out preaching the word, preaching the word, the perception of the gospel. Do you understand the gospel? Do you know the gospel? Have you received the gospel? Do you teach the gospel? Do you preach the gospel? Preach it. Publicize it. Proclaim it. declare it. Let people know that this is the gospel and this is the effect of the gospel. Proclaim it faithfully. Proclaim it frequently. Proclaim it fervently. Proclaim it with passion. Proclaim it with every energy that you have inside you. Don't be afraid of anything. None of these things move me. Tell the Lord, I need more grace. I need more strength. I need more power. I will obey you. In the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, anywhere, everywhere I find myself, Lord, I will do it. Lord, I will do it. And then it will bear fruit in the hearts and the lives of people who have heard. They will turn from their sins. They'll turn to the Lord. They'll become new creatures in Christ. Old traditions will pass away. Old bad habits will pass away. Old sinful behavior will pass away. They'll become new creatures in Christ. And they too, they'll become disciples who obey the word of God.